Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veteran Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now the host of Minnesota Military Radio Hour, Tom Lyons.
Welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm Tom Lyons. In today's show, we talk to Dr. Steve France and Gina Sabanya from the Office of the Chancellor of the Minnesota State Colleges and University Systems. And we talk to the Deputy Adjutant and Executive Director of the Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota Foundation, or DAV, Martin Ludden. Plus, we check in with First Lieutenant Nathan Sokolowski, the officer in charge for a group of soldiers deployed from the Minnesota National Guard to Minot, North Dakota, in support of flood operations there. But before we get started, let's take a moment to remember one of Minnesota's own. Marine Sergeant Chad Frocker graduated from North High School in 2002. He was an avid Minnesota sports fan that would get up at 6 a.m. to watch the Vikings while he was stationed at Camp Pendleton in San Diego. Sergeant Frocker was killed while on foot patrol in Afghanistan by an IED, improvised explosive device. His wife, Leslie, is expecting their first child, whom they decided to name Eli James. He will be missed and remembered. Marine Sergeant Chad Frocker. Hoorah! And now it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
Although there are many organizations that donate generously to the soldiers and families of the Minnesota National Guard, there is one organization that I would like to highlight today, serving our troops. Their motto is, dinner with the family. It's a simple thing. But what they do for Minnesota National Guard members and their families can hardly be described as simple. Serving Our Troops was formed by a group of community and business leaders with a common interest in supporting those who put themselves in harm's way. The Serving Our Troops team has been sending a special thank you message to soldiers and their families in the form of a home-cooked steak dinner since 2004. After seven such events, the Serving Our Troops team has served over 50,000 steaks to Minnesota military families and their members. Serving Our Troops has three goals: to provide a delicious meal to soldiers and families, to send a message of support from Minnesota communities, and to promote awareness of Minnesota's unprecedented military service. To quote from their website, "Our National Guard members are Minnesotans who have stood up to make the sacrifice to serve our country when they are called. They have jobs and families like any Minnesotan, but they are making a sacrifice to provide us the freedoms we enjoy each and every day." Today, July 10th, Serving Our Troops will once again go into action. The team is currently at Fort McCoy, Wisconsin, to prepare a steak dinner for the soldiers and families of the 1st Brigade Combat Team. By sundown, they will have served approximately 5,000 steak dinners. Serving Our Troops is an honorable and outstanding organization, and one that is greatly appreciated by the soldiers and airmen of the Minnesota National Guard. We salute them in their efforts to provide a simple gift to the men and women of Minnesota National Guard, namely, dinner with family.
Thank you, General Nash. You can link to the Adjutant General's blog, Facebook, and Twitter feed through MinnesotaNationalGuard.org/generallyspeaking. This week, Dr. Stephen France and Gina Sabanya join us. Dr. France is the System Director for the Student Life, and Ms. Sabanya is the Military Education Director for the Office of the Chancellor of the Minnesota State Colleges and University System. Dr. France, Ms. Sabanya, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. France, can you tell us what you do for MINSQ?
Yes, Tom. I'm the System Director for Student Life and Disabilities, and also the Director of Veterans Program that operates within the system. We have received three federal grants to improve our system, to make it more veterans-friendly. And so as such, I'm the director of that program.
And what schools comprise the MINSQ?
MNSCU is made up of all the state universities, the community colleges, and the technical colleges. So we have 54 campuses across the state in 31 institutions.
And when we've talked in the past, in the, over the last period of years, you've opened up veteran service centers in most of those locations.
Most of those locations, I think 51 or 52 of our 54 campuses have veteran centers.
So part of what your job is to make sure that those veterans get all, get everything they need.
Yes, indeed. And in fact, all of our colleges and universities are now service member opportunity colleges. That's a national sort of good housekeeping seal that's on them. They have all signed a pledge to be military friendly and to take certain actions to be military friendly and veterans friendly colleges and universities. And so we are one of two systems in the country that are now fully 100% service member occupational service member colleges.
That's fantastic, Dr. Franz. Now, we've talked about this before. When I came back from Vietnam, accessing veterans' education benefits was pretty simple, pretty easy. There's one program.
Yes.
Now there's multiple programs.
There are multiple programs. It's very complicated, very complex, and there are veterans representatives, 12 of them throughout the state, and 11 of those are hosted on our colleges and universities, and they serve not just Minnesota State Colleges and Universities, but they also serve the University of Minnesota and the private colleges and for-profit colleges around the state, but they're hosted at MNSCU institutions.
So you actually help veterans that get off active duty and returning guardsmen if they were deployed long
enough,
and some of their families.
Absolutely. All our welcome families, military members, active duty, reserve, guard, all are welcome.
And if they want information online, where do they go?
They go to mymilitaryeducation.org, or they can go to veterans.minscu.edu.
Now, Dr. Franz, I know that you've done some great work with the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Reintegration Program. Can you tell us how you got involved in that and what you're doing?
Yes, I got involved in that in kind of an interesting way. I came back into my office one day, and I had a phone message. And it's not often that this happens, but the phone message was from the Adjutant General. Now, I had known the Adjutant General because I'd worked with him in previous life and actually had gone to school with him. And the message was, Steve, we're going to have a lot of people deploying, and they're going to be coming back, and they're going to need some help, and we're going to need your help. Would you work with Chaplain Morris on this? And I gave Chaplain Morris a call, and, you know, the rest is history.
And when the tag asks you a question like that, your answer is, sir, yes, sir.
Absolutely, yes, sir. And so I got involved and have been involved for about 5 years.
We're speaking with Dr. Steve Franz, Systems Director for the Office of the Chancellor of the Minnesota State Colleges and University System on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour here on News Talk 100.3 FM. Dr. Franz, your office has been nationally recognized for Veterans Education Transfer System. Can you bring me up to speed on that?
Yes. And the way this happened was at one of the reintegration events at Fort McCoy. I was standing next to a soldier, and I said, so how are we doing? And he said, well, you're doing fine. I mean, the community colleges, technical colleges are great institutions, but and the state universities serve us well. I said, is there anything we could do better? And he said, yes, you could recognize and give us credit for our training that we do in the military. And I said, we don't do that well? And he said, well, you could do better. So I went out to the campuses, and I started talking with transfer folks, and I said, do we do this as well as you would like to? And they said, no. It's a time-intensive process, a labor-intensive process, and every time we take a look at transcripts, we reinvent the wheel. And so we said, could this be automated? Could we have a system that is online that could help us to determine how much credit soldiers could get for their MOS, their military occupational specialty? And the answer to that was, absolutely, we could. And that's we received a grant from the federal government to see if we could put that together. And we have been able to put that together. First in the country, we're getting accolades from across the country for this program. So veterans, military members from all branches can go online to veterans.minscu.edu and find the credit that they can be awarded.
Dr. Franz will come back and talk more about this and get Mrs. Sabania involved in the discussion. But we have to take a short break. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour on News Talk 100.3 FM. Please stay with us. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Today we're talking to Dr. Stephen Franz, the Systems Director for Student Life and Ms. Gina Sobania, the Military Education Director for the Office of the Chancellor of the Minnesota State College and University Systems. Dr. Frantz, I asked you before the break about the Beyond the Yellow Ribbon reintegration program.
Mm-hmm.
How do you help the troops reintegrate? Do you do it before they go and when they come back? How are you involved in that?
Yes, we're involved in pretty much all the events. So the family preparation activities ahead of time and the training. Sometimes at the training site, we're present. We're telling them about opportunities to go to college to use their benefits. We're working with them on what possibilities are. We help with goal setting. We do this then when they return at demobilization time and at 30-day, and we're going to be doing a one-year event coming up in July now. So we're present there. We're helping them with teaching goal setting, working with career planning and educational planning.
So you're bringing the ideas and the resources and the help to them.
Yes.
So that they know where to go to get what they need.
That's right. Answer their questions and work out any concerns or problems for those who are students, too.
Ms. Sabania, you've been, you've been pretty quiet over there and pretty nice letting us talk. Can you tell us what you do for MINSCU?
Yes, I am the Military Education Director, and as Steve mentioned before, we worked on the Veterans Education Transfer System, and that's working with faculty from around our system and educating them on training that happens in the military, whether that's in the Army or the Marines, and saying what kind of credit can be awarded for the training that they have experienced, whether during their training or during their work in their occupation, and putting that together in the Veterans Education Transfer System.
So you're helping them get some education credits for that and to put those in terms that civilian employers will understand what they did and what they learned?
Yes, absolutely. The most important thing is educating the faculty on what the terms are and taking that military language and changing it to academic language. And yes, we are awarding credits at our institutions for training that they have received in the military, whether that be a diesel mechanic or a military police, they're receiving credit at our institutions.
Now, I understand you're involved in a program called My Military GPS Life Plan. Can you tell me what that is?
Yes, I can, Tom. My Military GPS Life Plan, and in this case, GPS stands for Goals Plus Plans Equals Success. And it was developed originally at Century College, and we developed a military version back in December of 2009. And it talks about five different plans in your life, education, career, finance, leadership, and personal. And in those plans are templates that can help service members move forward with goals during their deployment and also when they return so that they can work on goals, whether that's saving money, going to college, increasing, advancing in rank, so on and so forth. And that's through GPS Life Plan.
So do you talk to them about this during the reintegration programs as well?
Yep. Just recently with a group, the first BCT that's leaving, we have goal-setting workshops where we actually spend an hour going through the goal-setting process using the SMART template. So it's specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and timely. And then they create templates. They create goals for their deployment so that they have something to be accountable and something to work toward during their deployment.
That was quick. She passed the test, didn't she, Doc?
She did, very well.
Got right through that without a stumble. Now, do you do this in group sessions, or is there individual help as well?
We do it in group sessions, and also through mymilitaryeducation.org, which Steve mentioned earlier, is an online workshop that is self-paced that they can take. They can go through this course and set the same goals, similar information that we're offering at the workshops, the family preparation academies, as Steve mentioned, and then after when they return.
How long have you been in this position and working with the veterans?
I have been working with the veterans since July of 2003 on this project for the last 3 years. I first started when the troops deployed to Bosnia, and MINSCU was offering special courses during their deployment so it fit into their deployment schedule. So I've been doing this for 8 years, coming up in a couple of weeks.
I'll bet in those 8 years you've got a few interesting stories in there of someone special.
I do have interesting stories to tell. As I tell people that I work with, it's the most rewarding job I've ever had working with the service members. Interesting story, a soldier returned last year through Fort McCoy, and he was a generator mechanic, but he worked in country as a diesel mechanic. And he needed two courses to graduate from one of our colleges. And by the time I got to work the next day, he had already called me and asked if I made contact with the college. Well, in the end, he graduated that summer, so he didn't have to wait till this summer to graduate, and he's working in the field.
So how's your experience been working closely with these service members? You're smiling a lot, so you must like it.
I do. As I said, it's the most rewarding job. It gives me, it's a purposeful job. It allows me to do, to help people, to talk about education benefits, to talk about goal setting. And then as I, the soldier in here earlier, we see them when they, before they leave and when they return. So we're part of their process.
Dr. Franz, what's up next for the Minnesota State Colleges and University Systems?
Well, we're continuing to move ahead. We're on phase two of our grant, and so phase two is improving, finding depth into it, increasing the number of occupations that we can actually analyze and make available for service members and returning veterans to continue on with the reintegration efforts and to make our campuses absolutely as veterans friendly as they possibly can be. We've got an infrastructure put in place, policies, laws that now help to assure that veterans coming to our campuses will receive not only a fair and equitable treatment, but a very friendly and welcoming environment.
And in these tough economic times, when some of these troops come back from deployments and they don't have a job, maybe a good time in their life to go get that higher education.
That's right. And the benefits are there. We now have a new law that's very helpful to service members and can help them to get into school and to be supported while they're in school. So it is a good time for service members to return to school.
And Ms. Sabania, once they get into your program and they come talk to you, then you're talking and helping them figure out what's in their future, aren't you?
Correct. What kind of programs they're interested in. They can take assessments through mymilitaryeducation.org and help figure out what kind of program they want to go into.
Ms. Sabania, any final thoughts for our listeners?
I just thank you for letting me be here today, Tom.
And where can they find information about your program?
It is at www.veterans.minsku.edu.
You're doing a great job. And Dr. Franz, final thoughts?
We're just so honored to be a part of this program. I'm so grateful that the Adjutant General called me that day and asked me to be involved. This has changed my life immensely, and it's just an honor to be able to give back whatever we can give.
Well, you both look like you're thoroughly enjoying your jobs and happy helping our veterans, and hooyah again. Good work.
Thank you.
And thanks for joining us on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour today, both of you.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
That was Dr. Stephen Franz and Ms. Gina Sobania. Dr. Franz is the Director of Student Life, and Ms. Sobania is the Military Education Director for the Office of the Chancellor of the Minnesota State Colleges and University System. We have links to more information on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Each week, we feature Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, a comprehensive program that connects service members and their families with community support, training, services, and resources. Let's visit this week's Support Our Troops Showcase, a story where someone just like you and I went out of their way to make a difference in the life of a service member or military family. Jan Cooper has been doing everything since her husband's deployment began, but paying the bills, working full-time, and shuffling their two kids to daycare and summer activities, Jan was starting to feel a little bit overwhelmed. She's been handling the increased responsibilities so far, but there was no room left in Jan's plate, and she knew it. Thankfully, Jan's family readiness group told her about Project Backpack. The kids' school year was still a couple of months out, but the idea that she could knock out school supply shopping with a simple online application was amazing. No waiting in line and no financial burden, so Jan could keep her head above water. A Minnesota Veterans Family Support Program, Project Backpack, prepares school-aged children for the successful school year. Parents and caregivers request the supplies they need, and Project Backpack fills the order. Efforts are currently ramping up to identify families who can benefit from this program, including all families of the recently deployed 1st Brigade Combat Team and out-of-state soldiers deploying with Minnesota units. Thank you, Minnesota Veteran Family Support and Project Backpack, for showcasing how remarkable organizations are going beyond the Yellow Ribbon. Beyond the Yellow Ribbon connects service members and their families with organizations, agencies, companies, community support, training, services, and resources to bring our service members all the way home. To learn how you can, like Project Backpack, make a difference in the life of a service member or military family, visit beyondtheyellowribbon.org. When we return, we'll take a look at DAV with Martin Ludden and check in with the officer in charge of first officer in charge of the deployed Minnesota National Guardsmen up in Minot, North Dakota, That'll be right here on Newstalk 100.3 FM. This is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Lyons. It's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelliteau.
I would like to take this opportunity to update our listeners on operations here at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. During the current state shutdown, programs that are continuing include our state veterans homes, critical assistance programs for veterans, limited veterans claim services, and our state veterans cemetery. Although some of our employees do not fall into categories 1 and 2 of critical services, I view all positions at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs as vitally important to the work we do serving Minnesota's heroes. I cannot say enough about how our team came together to prepare for this contingency. They worked tirelessly to ensure that our mission could continue, even if they were laid off. This is a team I'm incredibly proud of, and I am looking forward to welcoming everyone back to work. I am hopeful the state budget will be resolved in short order, so we can continue our work across the state of Minnesota. In the meantime, I want to thank all our valued partners in the veterans communities for your continued support and dedication to Minnesota veterans and their families.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelliteau. You can find out more about the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs programs by calling 1-888-LINK-VET or online at minnesotaveteran.org. This week, Martin Ludden joins us. He is the Executive Director of Disabled American Veterans of Minnesota Foundation, or DAV. Martin, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Thanks. It's good to be here.
Martin, I understand you are a veteran.
I am.
And what service were you in?
I was in the Army Reserve. I did about 9 years with the 652nd Engineer Company out of Ellsworth, Wisconsin. And we were in Iraq twice during that time.
So you were deployed twice.
Mm-hmm.
And are you still in service? Or you?
I'm not. I'm not. Just over a year out.
Okay. The DAV is one of 9 congressionally chartered veteran service organizations in Minnesota. Can you tell me about the importance of the veteran service organizations?
The veteran service organizations, the VSOs, are very important. It's a place for fellowship and camaraderie among veterans. It's a group of people that have done what you've done and seen what you've seen. We also do a lot of veterans advocacy at the state and federal level, legislatively. A lot of the VSOs also run claims offices, so they assist veterans with their federal VA claims. And one of the kind of the big things that not a lot of people know about is we do quite a bit of advocacy federally on behalf of active duty soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and active guard and reserve component folks as well, on pay, on living conditions, on base, on military health care, a lot of that kind of stuff. So we don't just serve veterans. We serve the folks in the active community as well.
Martin, when I think of disabled veterans, I think about my generation, Vietnam and, mm-hmm. and so forth. But there's a whole new generation out there now. How does that impact the DAV?
Well, it's a challenge to all the veteran service organizations to bring in my generation of veterans. I mean, I'm 30. And as far as my generation of veterans, I mean, there are a lot of the folks I'm working with are twice my age. And we need to find a way to bring in my generation, because we bring a new perspective, and bringing in younger veterans is also going to guarantee kind of the sustainability of these organizations as we move forward. We're going to keep the young lifeblood going and recognize the service of our older members and keep it going for the next generation.
I'm smiling because when I joined the VFW when I came back from Vietnam, I heard the World War II guys saying the same thing. How do we get these young guys to join?
Yep.
And we need these young guys in order to sustain ourselves.
Yeah.
And now you're going through that whole thing again.
It's the same thing. Well, it worked. You're in the VFW. You know, you came in behind the guys from World War II, and you know, hopefully we'll be coming in behind you guys from Vietnam.
So what are you doing to get the young people involved?
That's a good question. We have to, kind of the challenge, and this is something I'm looking at with some of my counterparts in the DAV, guys of my generation, is figuring out what young veterans need out of a veteran service organization. And it's, we've kind of seen that we don't so much need a place for us to go and socialize, you know, go to a bar and have a drink, go to the post. We need, you know, do we need a service opportunity? Do we need something that's a little more family friendly? an opportunity to give back. And that's what we're hoping to give as we move forward.
We're speaking with Martin Ludden, Executive Director of the DAV of Minnesota Foundation, on the Minnesota Military Radio Hour here on Newstalk 100.3 FM. Martin, who's eligible to be a member of the DAV, and how important is it?
The eligibility is limited to people disabled in the service of our country. Now, that doesn't mean you have to have a VA disability. I mean, if you want to get technical, I suppose if you ever made it to sick call, you were probably injured in some way, shape, or form. And we have members everything from, you know, a 0% rating for hearing loss that isn't quite compensable yet, to people who are 100% for, you know, missing limbs or what have you. And the importance there is to get, as a lobbying organization or as any kind of advocacy organization, our strength lies in our numbers, and getting people in and getting people active makes us that much more effective.
So stronger organization.
Exactly.
More members. Yep. They'll listen to you a little bit.
Absolutely.
So eligibility is anyone that was injured while they were in service, mm-hmm. not necessarily in a war zone.
No, it's not limited to war zones, just while in service.
Okay. Now, how long have you been in this position?
About 2 months.
2 months.
Yep.
So I can't ask you, how's your track record? How are you doing on getting those young people in? But you're going to do well, aren't you?
Yeah, we are.
I understand you've got some events coming up this summer.
Yeah, we had a couple of big ones in May. We had the Old Glory Run up in in Cold Spring, actually. That's a big fundraiser for us. And we had a golf benefit at the Wilds also in May. And coming up here this month on the 19th, we're going to be giving some vans to the VA Medical Center in Minneapolis. These are vans that we've been able to purchase through the foundation for our transportation network, which is a big part of what DAV does.
We had someone from the Old Glory Run on a few months ago,
mm-hmm.
and they were talking about it, and they used the proceeds of that to buy a van, as I
yep.
recall. That's what you're talking about.
Yeah, they did.
And they've been doing that for a few years, I understand.
Yeah, I think this was our fourth year, and we're looking forward to doing it again next year.
And a successful event.
Mm-hmm. Very much.
Great. And what else is coming up this summer?
That's about it for us. We've got our fall conference coming up in October, but we get through May, and then we kind of collect ourselves and get ready for the fall.
And any big programs coming up this winter?
We'll have through the other side of the fall conference, we've got our convention in May, and we'll see as we go.
Okay. So if our listeners want to find out more information about you, the program, what you do, the DAV, where do they go?
They can go to www.davmn.org, and they can also follow us on Twitter at DAV of MN, or on Facebook, DAV of MN also.
Now, if you think I'm going to remember all of that, give us the first one again.
We've got www.davmn.org, and that's our department website, and we're on Twitter and Facebook as well.
And we'll have those links up on our website as well, so the listeners can go there. We've just got a little time left. Any final thoughts for our listeners about the DAV of Minnesota Foundation?
You know, we'd love to have more members. We'd love to have younger members, older members, anybody that cares to join us. We also do a big thrift clothing operation, so feel free to send your gently used clothes and household goods our way.
And do you have pickup service for that?
Absolutely. We'll come to your door.
Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
That was Martin Ludden.
Today we're talking to First Lieutenant Nathan Sokolowski
Foundation
from the 849th
we'll be back with
Mobile
First Lieutenant Nathan Sokolowski.
He's the officer
minor
in charge
of the
North
Minnesota National Guard
with a flood
serving in Minot,
this is the Minnesota Military Radio Hour
of the flood
on
response
Newstalk 100.3 FM. Lieutenant, welcome to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour.
Thank you, Tom. It's good to be here.
Lieutenant, they tell me that you are on a program referred to as EMAC. Can you tell me what that acronym stands for?
Well, Tom, it stands for Emergency Management Assistant Compact. It means that during state-to-state, or during emergencies, we provide assistance between the two states.
So some of our listeners probably aren't familiar with why the Minnesota National Guard might be up in North Dakota. Can you explain to me how that works?
Well, in layman terms, it's because North Dakota asked for help. We have that mutual aid partnership between the two states, and when one state is in an emergency, they can ask for aid, and the other state provides it.
Well, that keeps it pretty simple. It sounds like a good program. Can you bring us up to date? We've seen on the news where the river down the middle of Minot was flooding, and it sounded like it was pretty bad. How bad was it, and how are things going?
Well, it was a record flood this year. They reached their peak just last week, It was several feet over the record. 4,000 homes were destroyed and many businesses. 12,000 people were displaced. But as of right now, it's gradually lowering, and within the week, it should be back within its banks.
And Lieutenant, how many soldiers are with you up in North Dakota?
We currently have 80 soldiers from the 682nd Engineer Battalion and 40 more from the 151st Field Artillery Unit.
Can you tell us a little bit about the types of things you've been doing?
Well, we have been tasked into two teams. One's called Team Engineer. We handle debris removal, putting in barriers, barricades, moving the sand. And then we have another team called Team Outlaw. They're tasked with traffic control. They're out there with their Humvees and being a visual out there helping the police control traffic.
And how long have you been up there?
We've been here for 2 days. We're going to be here for the next 2 weeks.
And when are they estimating when the flood will be down and back under control?
It should be by Saturday, Tom.
So then there'll be a lot of cleanup work after that?
Yes, there will be.
Are you seeing, are there a lot of civilian volunteers up in the area trying to help?
Oh, yes, they've been very helpful. Mostly they've been out with the police and dealing with just cleanup. But they're also helping out the National Guard, bringing us lots of nice goodies where we're staying and being just great.
So you're well housed and being taken care of up there?
Yes, we are. We're very grateful to North Dakota.
And your soldiers are in good shape and working hard?
Yes, we are, Tom.
All right. And you're saying that the big cleanup work will come up after the weekend when the waters go back down?
Yes, it will. It's going to be tough, but we're here to help out, and that's what we're going to do.
Lieutenant, I'm just curious, have you been involved in some other flood work before?
No, this is my first time, but we have plenty of soldiers that have done it before. Lots of experience coming up here. So North Dakota's got a good group of soldiers from Minnesota.
Well, we're glad to hear that our members of the Minnesota National Guard are up there helping those folks in Minot, North Dakota. And glad you're up there in command and doing a good job, Lieutenant.
All right. Thank you, Tom.
Thanks for joining us today.
Okay.
That was Lieutenant Nathan Sokolowski in Minot, North Dakota, with the Minnesota National Guard helping out with the flood efforts up there. We have links to more information on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Dr. Steve France and Gina Sobania from the Minnesota State Colleges and University System, Martin Ludden from the DAV of Minnesota Foundation, First Lieutenant Nathan Sokolowski, the officer in charge of the Minnesota soldiers helping with the flood in North Dakota, Commissioner Larry Shelado of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk with the 1st Brigade Combat Team, 34th Infantry Division's Commander Colonel Eric Kerska about their upcoming deployment, and what it was like to be a helicopter pilot in Vietnam with retired Major General Rick Erlinson. That's next Sunday morning at 7, right here on News Talk 100.3 FM. If you have questions for our mailbag or want to check out the podcast of today's show and all our shows, visit us on Facebook and at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour with host Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm located in Minneapolis. He's also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force. We hope you found this program to be informative and entertaining. This has been a production of KTLK, Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veteran Affairs. Podcasts of this program are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadioHour.com. Thanks for listening.